Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Helping your heart keep pace. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Monday, January 19th, 2026, for our medicine article for the month of January. Nice way to start off your week here, the new week. And in our article, we have, as the headline says, promising new technology for cardiac patients. Cardiac, meaning anything to do with the heart. A cardiologist is a doctor who specializes in the heart. And so today, our article, today and tomorrow, it's a two-day article. Our article will talk about a new technology for cardiac patients, specifically a pacemaker. And it says there in the deck, this new pacemaker is smaller than a grain of rice. So this sounds quite interesting, and I'm glad that it's not just me alone to discuss it with you, but that I'm also joined here in the studio by my co-panelist, Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Peter. It's great to be here.
Good to have you with us, Rhonda. This is something that Rhonda and I were saying off air that we're both particularly interested in because neither of us come from a medical background or really even a scientific technological background. So we're always interested in articles like this to let us know what's going on in the lab, as it were, you know, what the scientists are up to, what the doctors are up to, and particularly in medicine, because that's always about some way that we can improve our health, improve medical technology to make life easier for all of us and help us live longer. So, Rhonda, just talking about medicine and what the scientists are doing in the lab, as I put it, what would you say is the most important medical innovation of your lifetime, the most, you know, important development in medicine, in medical technology?
Well, first of all, I was born in early 1960, so just to give a context for my lifetime. So I'm not going to probably give an answer that everyone would give, because we're talking about several decades. But what comes to mind as something that amazes me in the medical world is the field of bioengineering, particularly development of artificial limbs, the progress in designing artificial limbs. As a small child, I remember seeing people with artificial limbs that look very, very different from what you see today, the very high-tech, very agile. People are able to compete in athletics, be very competitive in athletics. So this is something I've watched with interest. Of course, it's always sad when someone is in an accident or war, very tragic to lose limbs, but is heartening and amazing to see the medical advances that come through combining knowledge of the body, the bio, with engineering and mechanics.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer, actually, Rhonda. I'm thinking about the question myself. And yeah, I'm remembering when I grew up, I would read in comic books about so-called, sometimes the superhero or the supervillain would be a cyborg, which is basically a human being who some of their limbs or parts of their body are mechanical, are not living tissue at all, skin and bones, but steel. And we've all seen science fiction movies like that as well. And that's what it seemed to be. It seemed, you know, an artificial limb in real life, away from the comic books, away from the movies. An artificial limb seemed to be something basically made of a strong plastic, skin-colored, that looked like the limb it was replacing. But that was mainly all it did. It just sort of was a cosmetic. It had a cosmetic effect. Whereas now, like you say, in you and my lifetimes, we can see these artificial limbs and the technology behind them developing to the point which is a little closer to the sort of augmented ability, the enhanced ability that the characters in the comic books and the movies used to have, where someone with artificial feet or legs, for example, now can, in some cases, run faster and longer than someone without them because they're made of, you know, this powerful steel or titanium. They don't have to worry about getting cut. You know, they don't have the vulnerabilities or the weaknesses of normal human flesh tissue and bone. So it's, it feels like, you know, they're not yet quite commonplace, I don't think. But we do seem to be near a point where in the next decade or so, we may see people are choosing to have artificial limbs replace a healthy, good limb that they have simply for the greater power and durability and flexibility that it gives them. So far has the technology advanced. But today we will be looking at technology inside the human body, not dealing with limbs and legs and feet and arms, but inside the body, specifically the heart. So we'll do two readings. This is a two-day article, but we'll just do the first day today. We'll do two readings, and we will talk about the English as we go and talk about the vocabulary and give our listeners, as always, a chance to listen to spoken English. So, medicine article for the month of January, promising new technology for cardiac patients, January 19th. Here we go into our first reading.
Promising new technology for cardiac patients. This new pacemaker is smaller than a grain of rice. Researchers at Northwestern University just found a way to make a temporary pacemaker that's controlled by light and it's smaller than a grain of rice. A study on the new device published in the journal Nature found that the tiny pacemaker delivered effective pacing in both animal subjects and human hearts from organ donors. The device is designed specifically for patients who need temporary pacemaking, like newborn babies with heart defects or heart surgery patients, and it's made with materials that allow it to safely dissolve into the body once it's no longer needed. The current standard in temporary pacemakers involves sewing electrodes to the heart via wires, which then protrude out of the patient's chest and connect to an external box. By contrast, the Northwestern researchers' new device is small and dissolvable, and it can be implanted without any wire. The design could potentially help patients avoid complications involved with temporary pacemakers and open new possibilities for heart synchronization.
All right, so for today in our article, we're going to Northwestern University, just outside of the city of Chicago in the United States. Rhonda, you're from that area, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and my daughter actually went to Northwestern University. Excellent university, excellent medical research programs, and researchers there just found a way. They just discovered how to make a temporary pacemaker, and I love this phrase, smaller than a grain of rice. We say that in English, don't we, Peter?
Right,
when we're talking about one little piece, we don't say smaller than rice. Smaller than a grain of rice. That's
right.
Very small.
Right. Yeah, no, and you can see on the opposite page of your article there, the pacemaker itself next to a grain of rice. I believe there's two grains, technically speaking, there. I think one of them is uncooked and the other is after it's been cooked and expanded, just to give you a sense of how this is a pacemaker, literally smaller than a grain of rice. And the researchers at Northwestern University are the ones who have done this. There's been a study now on the new device published in the journal Nature. And what did this study find, Rhonda?
It found that this grain of rice-sized tiny pacemaker delivered effective pacing in both animal subjects and they had human hearts from organ donors. So they were able to experiment on hearts that were donated from, obviously, families who'd lost a loved one. So this is a really amazing research opportunity that took place. So it's worked with animal subjects and on human hearts.
So already it has a nice broad application if it continues to be successful and is further developed. And it goes on to say that the device is designed specifically for patients who need temporary pacemaking. So we just said how broad a range of applicability it might have, but it was originally designed specifically for patients who need temporary pacemaking, like, for example, newborn babies with heart defects or heart surgery patients, people who've just had heart surgery in some way. And it goes on to say, Rhonda, that it's made with what?
With materials, substance, that allow it to safely dissolve. So just like you'd put a sugar cube into water, that dissolves. This is what's amazing. They found materials that can safely just be absorbed into the body.
Now, this actually might be my answer for the most remarkable medical innovation of my lifetime. And I don't know how long this sort of dissolvable material has been around in the medical world, but just last summer, our dog was bit by another dog, and there was a wound, and in the course of recovering, she was injured again and had to actually have surgery to close the wound. And the veterinarian she had the surgery, and then the veterinarian stitched up the wound. And we were told that the stitches that he used would just dissolve after about 10 days, 2 weeks or so, so that she wouldn't need to go back to the surgeon to have them removed, which was a huge relief to us because our dog, unfortunately, very sensitive about being touched, hates to go to the vets. You know, few dogs like going to the vets, but ours in particular has some trouble with it. So the idea that there was this stitching that could just dissolve into the body without harming the body in any way of our dog was news to me and wonderful, welcome news. And so I see also that it is used with human medicine as well, and specifically in the case of this new pacemaker. Now, it goes on then in the next paragraph to say that the current standard in temporary pacemakers, so we're going to get a little bit of context here for this particular field of medical technology, the current standard in temporary pacemakers involves what, Rhonda?
Well, they use the word sewing, so a material that where you stitch electrodes to the heart via. Sewing electrodes to the heart via wires. So already I'm thinking, wow, this is great that it won't be this way anymore.
Right.
Imagine
this is
sewing
the current standard.
With
this
wires is, yeah. to the heart. It's so intrusive to save a life. And those wires then protrude, they stick out from the patient's chest and connect to an external box. So the patient, and I have seen this with friends, maybe tapping their chest, tapping through their shirt to say, I've got a new pacemaker. There's this box under this fabric of my shirt. So that external box outside the skin protrudes from the patient's chest being that part of their upper body.
Right. And that outer box, the wires connect it to those electrodes that are sewn on to the heart, just like the veterinarian sewed up our dog's wound. In this case, they sew the electrodes to the heart, an electrode, a small piece of metal or wire through which an electric current passes through a system or even into, in this case, the human body, is what an electrode does. And so the electrode is, of course, how the pacemaker would deliver a small electrical signal to the heart if it sensed that the pace of the heart was off in some way. And it goes on to say then that the Northwestern researchers' new device, by contrast, to the current standard of temporary pacemakers, is small, dissolvable, and can be implanted, that is, put into the human body or the animal body. It can be implanted without any wire. The design could potentially do what, Rhonda?
Potentially help patients avoid complications that are involved with temporary pacemakers, ones that are put in for a time. And it can open new possibilities for heart, this is a big word, synchronization. I looked that up because heart has different parts, four different chambers, two sides. So heart synchronization, the parts of the heart need to beat together.
Mm.
That's my understanding of heart synchronization.
Yes, yes, no, and I also had to look that up a little bit to understand it in a medical context specifically. Synchronization, broadly speaking, means for two things to happen at the same time.
Yes.
Basically. And in this specific context, the two things, as I understand it, Rhonda just informed us, parts of the heart all need to beat at the same time. And also there's some kind of connection to the brain as well.
Uh-huh.
The electrical signals from the brain need to happen in sync, in synchronization with the heart's own electrical activity. I couldn't tell you beyond that, but that's the basic meaning of synchronization and in our context. And just one last thing to point out here, or just sort of to remember, is that we are talking about temporary pacemakers. Mm-hmm. There's this whole other field of pacemakers that are designed for people to live with indefinitely. And people do, in fact, live in some cases for several decades with a pacemaker inside them because the state of their heart is such that it needs more than just temporary pacemaking, so to speak. It needs to be an ongoing permanent part of the person's life to keep their heart beating healthy. So let's go on now to our second section and read a bit more about the specifics of this new pacemaker and about the need for pacemakers generally in our world today. Let's go into our second reading now.
Wires literally protrude from the body. Generally, pacemakers are small implanted devices that use electrical impulses to regulate the heart's beating. Temporary pacemakers are a subcategory and they have a few primary uses. To start, around 1% of babies worldwide are born with congenital heart defects that require surgery, after which the child needs a pacemaker for about 7 days to allow the heart to self-repair. Outside of pediatric cases, temporary pacemakers are also commonly used for a period after heart surgery in order to support recovery and minimize complications. However, Igor Efimov, an experimental cardiologist, notes the standard temporary pacemakers can also present complications. Wires literally protrude from the body attached to a pacemaker outside the body. Efimov said in the release, "When the pacemaker is no longer needed, a physician pulls it out. The wires can become enveloped in scar tissue, so when the wires are pulled out, that can potentially damage the heart muscle."
All right, so our second section here begins with the eye-grabbing quote in the subhead, "Wires literally protrude from the body." That's quite an image to have. So we go on to read, though, that generally, pacemakers are small implanted devices that use electrical impulses to regulate the heart's beating. Good basic description of what a pacemaker is, what it does. Temporary pacemakers, like we were just saying, are a subcategory, a field within the field, a subcategory, and they, temporary pacemakers, have a few primary uses, and we're told of two of them here. Rhonda, what's the first one?
The first is for babies, 1% of babies worldwide who are born with congenital heart defects. That word congenital is a condition or a disease that has affected someone since they were born. The G-E-N in there implies from the time of birth. So 1% of babies worldwide are born with congenital heart defects that require surgery. So then the child needs a pacemaker, and it says here, for about 7 days.
Right.
So it is temporary to allow the heart or give time for the heart to self-repair.
Right.
So they need help. Their heart needs help.
Exactly.
For 7 days.
Yeah. And just an insider pro tip here that we'd love to give you in advance. It's a little redundant from a writing perspective to say that someone is born with a congenital condition of some sort, because like Rhonda said, congenital means something you've had since you were born. So you can't develop a congenital condition later in life. You are only born with it. Otherwise, it's not a congenital condition. It's some other kind of condition. But anyway, the point being, yes, that around 1% of babies worldwide are born with heart defects or have congenital heart defects, if you want to work a congenital in there. And just to give you some perspective, 1% of babies, according to the United Nations, in 2024, there were 132 million, approximately, babies born worldwide. 132 million. So 1% of 132 million is approximately 1.3 million. 1.3 million babies born with heart defects of some sort. So there is certainly a need for these temporary pacemakers. And that's not even getting into the animal cases that we read about at the beginning of the article. But anyway, talking about the primary uses of pacemakers, besides newborn babies who need temporary pacemaking, we also read here that outside of pediatric cases, pediatric, of course, meaning the field of medicine dealing with children. Outside of pediatric cases, temporary pacemakers are also commonly used for a period after heart surgery in order to support recovery and minimize complications. Minimize, meaning to make as small as possible, the minimum, the absolute minimum that you can do, and here's the verb form, minimize complications. However, Igor Efimov, a man with a memorable name here, and also an experimental cardiologist, so it means he's much smarter than us, he's one of the researchers, and he notes that the standard temporary pacemakers can present complications. Rhonda, what sort of complications are you talking about?
Well, here's where we have a really graphic description, very easy to envision, although not pleasant. Wires literally protrude from the body. There's our word again, protrude, stick out from the body, attached to a pacemaker outside the body. So wires sticking out and the pacemaker is there outside the body. And when the pacemaker is no longer needed, the doctor pulls it out.
Right. He's speaking kind of simply there, just to give us the basic idea. It's not like the patient just walks up to the doctor and the doctor says, rip.
This is really preparing us for the wonder of the new dissolvable invention. So the writer's being very effective here, preparing us for the good news of the new technology.
Exactly.
It goes on to say the wires can become enveloped. Notice the pronunciation, enveloped, surrounded by, enveloped in, meaning surrounded by, scar tissue.
Right. And there's two words there, a word and a phrase, right in that sentence. Enveloped, like Rhonda said, note the pronunciation of it, because when that is a noun, we say envelope. Put your letter in an envelope or put the report in an envelope and leave it on my desk, something like that. But if you are, the act of doing that is to say that you envelop the letter. I mean, nobody would actually say it that way because it sounds kind of funny. But you literally would envelop a letter in an envelope.
Yeah,
if you wanted to use
the
both.
We more use it for things like a hug.
Exactly.
I enveloped my child in my arms. But yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
To point out the definition. So this is really, again, very graphic, that those wires become surrounded by.
Right, right.
Scar tissue. That's
scar tissue. Yeah, now that scar tissue, that is a raised area of tissue over the site of a wound on the body. It can happen anywhere on the body, anywhere there's a wound, whether, you know, it's a cut that you got by mischance or a surgical wound. Often scar tissue will form over that site to protect it. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's what the body naturally does. But that scar tissue, depending on how much of it forms, it ends up becoming less flexible, weaker. There's poorer circulation of the blood in scar tissue, and so that can cause problems for you down the road, even though it serves an important purpose at first by giving protection to the wound site and preventing infection and so on. But that's Efimov's point here in the quote. When the wires are pulled out, when the pacemaker is no longer needed, it can potentially damage the heart muscle because we're talking about pulling the scar tissue. We're talking about isn't just forming on the outside of the body where the wires are protruding out of the person's chest. It can also form scar tissue on the heart itself. And whenever you're talking about the heart, you know, you don't want anything, you want to be extra careful. And so scar tissue, you know, as troublesome as it can be to have scar tissue on the surface of your body, it's that much more concerning when scar tissue may form on the heart itself. So this is a good introduction here of the field of pacemakers and the current standard of pacemakers, the current level of technology, how they work, what they're used for, and the complications of them based on the way they work. And in tomorrow's reading, day two, we will learn more specifically about the new technology, the new pacemaker that's smaller than a grain of rice. And we'll understand already, though, you can begin to see how this new technology will take care of some of the complications of the current technology in the field of temporary pacemakers. So, join us again tomorrow for day two of this article. For today, we have to bid you farewell. I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.